Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. There's a saying, if you don't have a seat at the table, then you're on the menu. We can assume that this applies to the Panama Canal, Greenland, and even Canada. Trump's New World Order is beginning to look like old-fashioned 19th century imperialism. Crosstalking Trump's New World Order, I'm joined by my guest, Craig Passage Ardula in Florida. He's co-host of the Convo Couch. In Kingston, we have Gerald Salenti. He is founder and director of the Trends Research Institute. And in Denver, we cross to Tyler Nixon. He is an attorney and political strategist. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Passage, let me go to you first in Florida. I didn't think in the year 2025 that Greenland and Canada, the Panama Canal, would be on the menu. We have so many other press issues here. What is this all about? Is it a diversion? Is it a Trumpian geopolitical realist play? Is this for the base? Or none of the above and all of the above? I mean, can you explain it to us? Go ahead.
Some of the above, a little bit of the above. I don't know, Peter. I'm trying to make sense of it myself. Listen, the only thing I can point to is that Republicans can get certain things done that Democrats can't get done, and vice versa. Remember, it was Clinton who pushed through NAFTA, and he also pushed through the reform of Glass-Steagall. Well, when it comes to expanding the empire, just like George W. Bush was able to get in there and do what he had to do, it seems like Donald Trump has been tapped to do that. Now, all I can think about, other than that old school kind of saying from some of the truthers about the Club of Rome, which they wanted this big type of American empire in 10 different districts, is the resources that are there. You know, yeah. The fourth industrial revolution is dependent on those resources, and Greenland's got a lot of them. So I think when you look at it, you know, from a perspective stepping back, maybe it's just the West doing what they're doing, expanding and stealing more resources, and they've tapped Trump to do so because his base will go along with whatever he says.
Yeah, but Gerald, that's kind of an easy one. If we look at Greenland, it is a member of the EU. It's part of Denmark, NATO. I mean, the United States has had a military presence in Greenland since 1941, codified in 1951, a member of NATO. I mean, why don't you just kind of have a deal? I mean, why do you got to take over the place? Again, is this for MAGA because the intractable problems called Ukraine, Syria, Iran? This seems like easy pickings to me and kind of on the cheap as well. Gerald.
Remember, let's look who's the president. We took out the trademark back in 2016 when he ran for office, the presidential reality show. That's all it is. That's all this guy is. He's an actor. He's a reality show champ. He's been at it, what, 15 years he did it on TV?
You're not talking about Zelensky right now, are you?
Yeah, I'm oh, you mean the guy that plays the piano with his penis? That one? No, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about Trump. Let's go back to the election. These are the facts. Exit poll. Which mattered most in deciding how you voted? 3% of Harris voters and 4% of Trump voters said, quote, foreign policy. Uh-huh. All right, now foreign policy is the big issue. Mm-hmm. This guy is just blowing out this crap, and that's all he's doing. And he's getting the people's minds off the reality of things. That's the way we see it. You go back to the election, quote, it's the economy, stupid. So this, to me, is just nothing more than a diversion on one end. And on the other end, when it looks at the Middle East, it's the ramping up of more and more war. Not by my words, by what his words are. He said what he's going to do with, Israeli prisoners must be released. Otherwise, all hell will break loose. What? This is the guy that sold himself as a peace candidate.
That's the point of the whole program, Gerald. Let me go to Tyler in Denver. I mean, you know, I appreciated during his first administration that he didn't start any new wars. I think that's a good calling card. That's fair. OK, but coming out and saying, I think it was even over the weekend, even using military force to take Greenland and Panama. I mean, that seems to be a huge change in his approach here. I tend to think, and I'm not disagreeing with my guest here, this is a bit of a diversion because we have Keith Kelly coming out and say, well, I think we need 100 days right now to figure out Ukraine, not 24 hours. I think you get my point. Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah. Well, I'd say, you know, it's a read my hips, not my lips, I guess. You know, look, Trump likes two things. He likes to make deals and he likes real estate. So, I mean, you know, this is not surprising. I don't think that he would, you know, he's had his eyes on Greenland since the first term. And what he's not talking about doing is invading any countries. He's not talking about, Iran, really. I think that he knows that he's got to talk tough and he's got to back it up with the military, with a strong military, rebuilding the military for protection, for defense versus the force projection and the wars for oil in the Middle East. And I think the thing about Trump is he was the only one who was honest about what we were doing in the Middle East. Let's face it. He said, look, we're there for the oil. And, I think he'll be straightforward about what he does in terms of those types of moves if they're made. But what I think he wants to project is American economic force and might versus military might. Now, with regard to Panama, I think he said it best. He said, look, we turned over the Panama Canal to Panama, not to China. So, you know, and frankly, we're getting screwed. So, you know, well, I think we have every right to look at that and not have the Chinese projecting their power into that that pipeline, that bottleneck for the entire entire hemisphere, basically, in terms of trade.
You're one step ahead of me, Pasta. That, you know, if you look at, Greenland, you look at the Panama Canal. I mean, and then of course we haven't even mentioned Taiwan yet on this program, but they're all related to China. So why can't you spin it that way? This is great power politics, okay? This is realism. We have to cover all our bets. I mean, I don't know if I'd necessarily agree with it. Maybe it's just overly aggressive, but that is a coherent thing. We need Greenland for our national security. Well, that's not as straightforward as saying, I'm thinking geopolitically, I'm thinking big, but he's not making that sell, Pasta.
Well, because he dances around the sell, and the sell is really about the resources. I think Lindsey Graham also told the truth out loud about Ukraine having all these resources. And Peter, you did mention too as well about the fact that, Donald Trump said, I'll end it in 24 hours. And that awful debate he had, he said, a lot of stupid things about, implying that Haitians are eating people's pets and whatnot. But the one thing he said that resonated with a lot of people was the fact that people are dying in the Ukraine and Russia for this war, and he wants to end it. Well, his new guy that he just tapped, Keith Kellogg, and when people say, oh, he didn't start any new wars. Yeah, Peter, that's true, but he didn't end any.
Good
and
point.
We had record breaking contracts, right? He gave the Kiev regimes weapons that Barack Obama wouldn't give them. He gave the Saudis weapons to start continue genocide in Yemen. So this guy is not a peace candidate. And now that he's coming out and saying, if Putin doesn't come to the table, he's going to send Kiev more weapons. I think this is all about the same thing as Empire. It's a resource extraction, and they just tap the Republicans to do what sometimes the Democrats start. It's like they're handing off the baton to one establishment member to the other, because at the end of the day, Donald Trump is not an outsider. He appeases the military-industrial complex and the establishment.
All right, Gerald, given
I just think it's funny that some people, want to not believe what Trump says about certain things, and other things they take it as gospel. I mean, he hasn't even begun his administration yet. This is just basically talk at this point. So until he makes any actual moves, I think, overheated sort of condemnation and, writing the man off before he's even begun his term. I mean, whatever he is, he's better than what we have, which is a total. I mean, Biden is. I mean, I'm just blown away at a demon this guy is. I mean, he just
the lesser
intent,
of two evils argument we're doing again. This
mess
always
of
happens.
Everything.
He's better than what we had.
Okay.
I mean, we already saw a whole term of Donald Trump. We saw his policies. We saw record-breaking contracts to the Pentagon. And we also see Marion Adelson feeding him almost $300 million. He will do what Israel tells him to do, just like Biden was told by Israel what to do.
Okay, well, I mean, since we're on the topic here, Gerald, I mean, the issue of hostages in Gaza, Trump, I'm paraphrasing here, will unleash hell. I mean, what's worse than genocide? I mean, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. Gerald, go ahead.
Well, again, you know, let's go back to the whole thing here. Look at what we're talking about. None of this was mentioned during the campaign. Never a word about this stuff. So the guy is just, you know, blowing this stuff out and just changing the direction of thing. And as Pasta said, and as we're talking about before, about somebody, which one mentioned about, you know, Trump being into real estate. How about this? March 19th, 2024. Jared Kushner,
yep.
His son-in-law,
yep.
His daddy, who where Netanyahu, when he came to America, used to stay at their house. Yeah, that guy, the guy that Trump pardoned for his crimes, that Jared Kushner, yeah.
Has and don't forget that Netanyahu babysat Blinken when he was a child. Keep going.
Yeah, Blinken. Yeah, B.S. Blinken. I went to Dalton. I went to Harvard. My daddy was, ambassador to Hungary. My uncle was ambassador to Belgium. All you are, no bunch of nobodies. Anyway, Jared Kushner has praised the, quote, very valuable Gaza, quote, waterfront property and suggested Israel should remove civilians while, quote, cleaning it up, quote. It's a little bit unfortunate situation there, but from Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up. In addition, I would just bulldoze something in the Negev desert. I would try to move people in there. I think that's the best option. So you could go in and finish the job.
Yeah, well, that's what's called a genocide, okay? He just didn't use the word here. Unfortunately, gentlemen, I have to go to a hard break. Gerald, I'm going to come back to you when we come back from the break. After that break, we'll continue our discussion on Trump's new world order. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Trump's new world order. Okay, let's go back to Gerald. Unfortunately, I had to cut you off to go to the break there. Gerald, I'm kind of changing gears a little bit, but in line with the poll numbers that you read to us, in retrospect, and I agree, Trump has not been inaugurated. That's still on the still ahead of us here. But considering, you know, his the spat within the Republican Party concerning Elon, which I don't want to spend a lot of time on. We can do that another time here. But has MAGA been played, Gerald?
Not at all. Again, I don't know what he's doing. But again, think about all talking about now that he did not, you know, talk about before. And now it's all war talk. So this to me is more of what we're going to be seeing. And I think it's a setup because what's going to be happening in Israel, because he's also talking about ramping up war against Iran. And I think that's what they're pushing us toward. And he's going into one place after another. And it's nothing more than war talk, nothing about, as again, it's the economy, stupid.
Tyler, weigh in on that, Tyler, because my thesis on that is that the Ukraine is turning into be a lot more complicated than the Trump people wanted to believe. They'll just be a ceasefire, and we'll do this, and we'll delay membership. All of that is a non-starter, and anyone knows about the conflict knows that, okay? And they're running up against a very hard brick wall. But there are other theaters, and Iran has already been mentioned here. Can you answer what the question I had for Gerald? Is MAGA being played here? Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, we've sunk hundreds of billions into Ukraine, and I don't think anybody wants to just walk away and wash our hands of it. I mean, there's got to be some sort of accountability there. There's got to be a wind down that makes use or somehow accounts for that in the larger scheme of things. But has MAGA been played? I'm going to tell you. The other guest gentleman said that they'll follow anything that Trump says. Let me tell you something. There is a lot of discontent in the MAGA movement right now with the Zionist influence on Trump. And, there's a feeling amongst many people that they're willing to hold out for, to see what he actually does. But there is definitely a lot of let's say, discontent with the people he surrounded himself with, you know, whether it be the head of Cantor Fitzgerald running his transition along with, you know, with Jared right in his ear. And frankly, they know the cozying up to Israel. I mean, look, he's been close to these people all along, but the fact that it's come to the forefront and it's become such a, you know, premier aspect of what he's talking about in on the lead up to his inauguration is as a lot of people in the MAGA movement shaking their heads and wondering what the hell they got themselves into in many ways. Not everybody. There's always going to be the people who, you know, Trump, no matter what. But I mean, I think, you know, Trump is has been nothing if not wily in terms of his political success. So, look, I mean, this might be how he's talking in the lead up to this. I mean, I think he knows the power of rhetoric. Yeah. He, you know, speaks well, in his case, not speak softly and carry a big stick. It's speak loud and carry a big stick and, you know, wave it around and whatever it takes. But he was very effective in his first term in many ways. And, you know, with North Korea and other look, he didn't get us out of wars, but he certainly didn't get us into wars. I tend to think his natural impulse is to appease the Zionists to the, you know, with rhetoric and with whatever, you know, will make them feel better. But I don't think he'll ever commit to any kind of ground war or attacking Iran. I think that would be lunacy. And I think it's more rhetoric. And I don't think it'll never happen under Trump.
That's yeah,
I disagree. No, he's Pastor mentioned it. Adelson's gave him, what, $300 million when you put it all together? He moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And now he's saying the people in Gaza are going to pay hell if they don't release the hostages before he becomes president. Oh, they're going to hell? They're living in hell now. Look what they're doing every day. How many? 50 yesterday, 80 the day before killed? No, he's totally on their side. And look at the people he brought in, one after another, one Zionist after another. No, he's in total control of them. And again, look at Jared Kushner, what I just read to you. We need that waterfront property. No, I think he's going to keep ramping this up. And he's also going to NATO and saying that they need to increase their defense budget to 5%. And he was going to end the Ukraine war, quote, in 24 hours. And now they're talking about 100 days.
And he also said, we saw the oil, we took the oil in Syria. That was about Israel, too, as well, right? How long is Israel? They're, what, 25 kilometers away from Damascus right now? They bombed Syria more than any time in history with this little coup that took over. I went for a cup of coffee and came back, and Syria had fallen. It happened so quickly.
Yeah, and pasta. Yeah. ISIS showed up in a suit. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I know, right? And then now they're reformed. And I was even a little suspect about Putin's attitude toward what's going on over there. But that shows you how much power the Zionist nation has, because a lot of that oil that was taken out of Syria, and once again, he didn't start any new wars, but he didn't end any. And he also set the table for what happened in Syria during his administration. They didn't pull out. They didn't leave. They stole their resources. And they did it at the behest of who? Israel. And he's going to continue to do what Israel tells him what to do. But going back to the MAGA Civil War really quickly, at the end of the day, you had Team USA versus Team Elon. I think that's what they were calling it online. You had Steve Bannon on one side with Jack Posobiec and Laura Loomer. You had Elon Musk and Vivek on the other side with all the little minions that are not, they call themselves journalists, but they're really just cheerleaders for Donald Trump. At the end of the day, they might scream and moan, but they'll still sign on the dotted line for Donald Trump. So even though there is skepticism, they'll still back the man no matter what he wants to do. Yep. And it's the people who are in the populist, I think, that said, all right, this is the lesser of two evils. I think they're scratching their head today, especially after he says the CIA must get involved when he talked about getting rid of the deep state for years.
Yep. Well, gentlemen, I thought elections had consequences. Apparently not. All right. The last part of the program, I want to ask more of kind of a metaphysical, theoretical question, and I'm going to start with Pasta. You know, it seems to me, and I was educated as a historian, but when I look at, you know, unbridled genocide, the breakup of Syria as a sovereign state without a whimper at all, just disappeared. Okay. We have countries like Israel attacking whoever it wishes with impunity, bringing it up to the present. You know, Donald Trump wants Greenland. I mean, My whole point is that it seems like a good part of the 20th century has been forgotten in terms of international law, international humanitarian law, institutions. The United States used to, and it did it very, very skillfully, infiltrate all international institutions to control them. Now they want to destroy all of them. They don't want to. They don't want to be held under any kind of obligation. It seems to me we're going back like to the 19th century. Am I wrong? Go ahead, Pasta.
No, you're not wrong at all. And I think a lot of it has to do with the mindset of the United States Americans, the education. I think an education today, a college degree today might be equivalent to a high school degree 30, 40 years ago, right? You see all these people on the streets when they do these little funny skits, when they tell them to point to North Korea on a map. They can't find it, Peter. I mean, this is the TikTok generation. And I think Donald Trump, at least, or those who control them, or those who work with them, know that they can get across to people, and they're not going to know their history, and they're banking on that. So really what it comes down to is we have a very uneducated public, and the people who are in charge, the social engineers, they understand that most of the people nowadays, they get their news from TikTok and Instagram videos. So they're just taking advantage of the situation while everybody's back at home eating Domino's pizza and watching sports, regardless of what war is going on beside them.
Yeah, and getting getting diabetes in the process. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tyler, do you want to jump in there?
I was going to say, even if they were to engage, what impact are they going to have? I mean, the Israel lobby is so influential and has such a grip on the American political system. I mean, what difference would it make? You could have people marching in the streets in a rebellion, practically, and it wouldn't make a difference because they hold all the levers. I mean, it's almost no escaping it, unfortunately. I don't know what it's going to take, but I mean, the idea that you're going to get a non-Zionist influenced president or really any government in this country at this point is... It's going to be a major, undertaking.
We're going to find out about that. Gerald, I suppose, unfortunately, we all had to experience Mark Zuckerberg's address to the world. One of the most shameful things I've ever seen in my life, okay? I was forced to do this. We went too far, and we can do better. No, it doesn't cut the mustard for me. But we're going to find out in the next administration. Okay, you can criticize the trans movement, but you can't criticize Israel. And we're going to find that out under the Trump administration. Gerald.
Again, it is our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliances with any portion of the foreign world. Observe good faith and justice toward all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all. The nation which indulges towards another an habitual hatred or an habitual fondness is in some degree a slave. That's George Washington.
Yeah.
This is a real man that fought, not like Trump. What does he got? We're the same age. What did he get, 4 or 5 draft deferments so he wouldn't have to go into the Vietnam War? But boy, does he like war. Same thing with Biden, a warmongering little boy, 4 or 5 draft deferments so he didn't have to get into the Vietnam War. Again, once upon a time, there was a guy by the name of Smedley Butler.
Yep.
War is a racket. It always has been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. He goes on, hey, look at Trump. He wants to increase the military budget. Go back to when he was running the last time. One after another. He's going to rebuild the U.S. Navy toward the goal of 350 ships, rebuild the Marine Corps to 36 battalions, provide the U.S. Air Force with 1,200 fighter jets, on and on and on and on and on. The bottom line is the military-industrial complex, as Dwight D. Eisenhower, 5-star general, Supreme Commander of the Allied Forces, and 2-term president warned us, the military-industrial complex is robbing the nation of the genius of the scientists, the sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children, and here we are.
All right, gentlemen, that's all the time we have. Very interesting. I like when you quote luminaries like Eisenhower in Washington, so much better than what we have in front of us today as leaders. Again, I ask the question, do elections have consequences? We're going to find out. I want to thank my guests in Florida, Denver, and in Kingston. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.